Hello?
Hello, is that Michael?
This is Michael.
Hi, it's Kieran here from the University of Birmingham.
Pardon?
It's Kieran here from Birmingham.
Right, yes.
How are you?
How are you?
Good, thanks. Good. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise. I've been sort of reviewing a little bit those 6 months in 79.
Okay.
And just because, I mean, it's been so long. And
of course.
I've done other things. But it's quite interesting, you know, to sort of review all the stuff that you did. But it was an interesting period. It was the last term for Stuart Hall as well.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yes, he moved on to Open University.
So what year was that then? 79?
So that was, the spring of 1979.
Yeah. So what...
And it was interesting. It was like the winter of discontent.
Okay, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and Margaret Thatcher was elected in May. And there was a lot of strikes, you know, the trade unions, problems, etc. So it was really interesting politically as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. What was it that brought you to the centre in the first place?
Pardon?
How did you arrive at the centre?
I had 6 months leave from my job at the University of Aarhus. So I went there as a visiting lecturer, and I read some of that stuff, some Stuart Hall stuff, and had already an interest in Raymond Williams and Richard Hoggart, and sort of that cultural studies type of project. So that's where I wanted to spend 6 months with my... I went there with my family.
Right.
Two children and my wife. And we lived in the Serio area.
Right, okay. And does at the time then, did cultural studies and Birmingham in particular have quite a big reputation in Denmark, or not really?
Not really, no, not yet.
Right.
That happened later, but it was growing at the time. And after I spent 6 months there, you know, and coming back to Denmark, you know, there's a lot of interest in the kind of stuff that they were doing. Theoretically, the way their moves, and the way they moved into cultural studies and feminism. So I think the feminist side of what they were doing was probably what really took off in Denmark.
Mm.
But other stuff as well. The whole thing, the whole move into reception theory, readerships, that kind of thing, was really very interesting. And some of them also visited Denmark. Angela Robbie, for instance, she came and spent, I think, 6 months of the year at University of Aarhus as a visiting professor.
So, I mean, as I understand it from the archives, Birmingham had a quite well-established relationship with Aarhus.
Yes.
As well as Ross Gilder as well, is that right?
Ross Gilder as well, yeah. It was stupid. I mean, I was the one, I think I'm the only one in the English department who knew anything about Birmingham.
Mm.
There were people in the media department, in media studies. And Ross Gilder at that time, of course, was a very progressive place, you know, very interested in new, particularly left-wing type theories and teaching and all this stuff. And so there were people also from Aarhus who moved on to Ross Gilder, but among others there was Kim Schroeder.
Okay.
Kim Schroeder, he and I, we did media studies book together for Routledge.
Okay.
Called Media Cultures.
Right.
Which was really very much influenced by a part of what was going on in Birmingham, and particularly these readerly aspects, reception theory, and move into popular culture.
Right.
And sort of the move, the sort of unabashed move into popular culture, it wasn't, that sort of distanced itself from the old Frankfurter School type of disapproval of popular culture as being sort of a cop-out and being just sort of industry
So
we're moving away from that.
Of course.
And doing stuff, and Kim Schroeder, for instance, he did stuff on some of his research on Dallas.
Okay.
And Dynasty, and that was, maybe you know also, Ian Ng. Heard about Ian Ng?
No.
No? Well, Ian Ng, she did, that was in the early 80s, and she did a big study, which was really sort of reception theory.
Mm. Watching Dallas.
Yes.
So had that process of moving away from the Frankfurt School, was that already underway in Denmark, you know, in the 70s, or was it something that took place a bit later on in the 1980s?
No, it didn't happen until sort of mid to late 80s, really.
Right.
Because it took a while for the writings of the Denmark School to sort of percolate through the system.
And, mm.
I was involved with that, and we had, for instance, Reverend Williams visiting as a visiting lecturer.
Okay.
Janice Rathway, you heard about Janice Rathway?
No.
No, all right. She was very much into sort of a romance reading.
Janet?
Janice Rathway.
No, I don't know the name.
Yes, she was American.
Okay.
And sort of doing, again, this kind of culture studies approach to not just analyzing trash fiction, the Barbara Karp and stuff, but actually working with how it was perceived.
Mm.
Not just the books themselves, but how the reception of these books and
sure.
How study groups would be talking about various, popular fiction, women's, novels, sort of sentimental, associated with sentimental fiction, and how they were actually sort of relating to their own lives rather than sort of having any kind of notions about sort of cultural quality or anything like that. So that was interesting.
So, how important do you think the Birmingham work was? How important was that school of work in Denmark?
I think it was extremely important in the sense that, what was happening in Birmingham was a lot of things, really. I think the most important thing was really break away from Althusser.
Mm.
In 78-79, E.P. Thompson wrote The Poverty of Theory in 1970, and he came and visited Birmingham, and there was a huge crowd, Stuart Hall, all the others, Michael Green, and there was a big discussion, but interestingly, and have you read The Poverty of Theory? No?
Oh, I wouldn't say I read the whole thing, but I have read parts of it.
So anyway, it's really, it's a huge sort of demolition job.
Yeah.
And that whole structuralist notion of culture and society, etc. So
how did that, when Thompson came then, how was the atmosphere then? Because obviously Stuart was...
I think it was interesting because on the one hand, when I came there, Althusser was still quite popular. But what they were reading was just really this essay on ideology and ideological state apparatus. That was really all they were reading, and they were picking up on this concept of interpolation. That was a big buzzword. Interpolation on one hand, which they took from Althusser, exactly the subject, but also the concept of hegemony.
Yeah,
which obviously they got from Gramsci.
Mm.
So Gramsci, and really, I mean, it was interesting that I found it. And how could Gramsci and Althusser coexist? Because they really are different paradigms.
Mm.
But somehow, I think there was a kind of a transitional phase between sort of the structuralism of Althusser, etc., and sort of more. And the culturalism of people, really people like Gramsci, Bakhtin was coming into sort of focus also, although, I mean, all of this stuff hadn't been translated then. So it was an interesting opening up, really.
Mm.
And theoretically, I think they were juggling lots and lots of stuff then, which has become, which they were the first to do. I mean, there was an interest in Bourdieu.
Yeah.
Which is the stuff had already been translated from the Distinction. A chapter from Distinction was translated as early as the 70s. And Laclau.
Yeah.
So Laclau, you know, the Argentine political philosopher. You know, he was interesting because he was interested in populism.
Right.
And the concept of populism, and that was really debated a lot in the first half of 79, simply because they were watching what Thatcher was doing in populism.
Yeah, of course.
And they were really very concerned. I mean, the vast majority of people there, of course, were politically on the left, even at on the left hand side of the Labour Party, but they were still. They were very much concerned, also theoretically, with sort of right wing populism.
Yeah.
What did you do with it? Because the way in which Thatcher sort of related to ordinary common folk, you know, housewives, etc., etc., was a kind of political appeal which Labour Party had lost. Really.
How do you describe, you know, the atmosphere of the centre when you were there compared to what you were used to, you know, back in Denmark?
Well, I mean, it was obvious. The centre was postgraduate, which means, you know, they didn't have, sorry to remember, they didn't have any undergraduate teaching
no.
at all. And that meant, of course, much more sort of egalitarian kind of environment. I mean, there was really no major distinction between students and staff. Students, they were mature students, many of them. So they really, I mean, you didn't sense that there was any kind of gap between students and staff. It was very egalitarian, and students would lecture. You know, I would lecture.
Mm.
I wasn't really a student, of course, but I did a lecture on the Walter Benjamin.
Okay.
And particularly the storyteller, his essay on the storyteller.
Mm.
And later on, and we also work on a book project, Culture, Media, Language, with Hutchinson, and which is really sort of a rag bag of everything that was happening in the center.
Mm.
And I was working with Michael Green and others on the section on reading.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And readerships and so on. And that's really also what Walter Benjamin was. The essay or my lecture on Benjamin was about.
Is group work, I mean, because I mean, you mentioned the, you know, the collaborative approach of the centre. So I was wondering whether or not that was something that this group collaborative approach is something that was equally common in postgraduate work, you know, in Denmark.
Yeah, but we didn't have centres as such. They were individuals. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of postgraduate work. Going on then, really.
Mm.
People, practically everybody, including sort of very bright students, really did not go on to do research.
Mm.
And there wasn't an established PhD program at the time.
Yeah.
So we didn't have that kind of a postgraduate or graduate environment at the university.
Right.
It would be individual projects, you know.
Yeah.
So that was really very interesting and eye-opening to me to come to that kind of. I mean, when I first came, there was a lecture the first week I was there, a big lecture, you know, and I went there and sat down, and there's this black guy sitting at the back of the room, you know, and the discussion, they couldn't really say anything. Then gradually I could sense, you know, that they wanted to say something, because I didn't know Stuart Hall was black.
Right.
You know, I had no idea that he was actually black.
Yeah.
You know, so that was sort of interesting, and how his who would never sort of throwing himself into debate just for debate's sake or anything like that. He would always ponder, you know, the nuances and the kind of position.
Mm.
So he was a very interesting man.
What was what were your reflections on the impact of feminism? I mean,
I think it was interesting because feminism came very much into the. Most people there had a background in English studies.
Mm.
So what was happening? What I was involved with as well was a kind of some rereading of more popular types of literature, such as, for instance, a big one was Rebecca, David Moria, Rebecca. You know, from a feminist point of view, and melodrama, you know, was a big concept there. You know, it was interesting because it was the feminist, Angela McRobbie in particular. I mean, Dorothy Hobson.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Did some work on Crossroads.
Yeah.
And really feminist readership, and, you know, female readership, that kind of stuff, and. So it was the kind of work that kind of bridged literary studies and media studies, you know, and cultural studies, really. I found that very interesting because those were my fields, English literature and media studies at the time.
Did feminism have an impact on the sort of personal relations at the centre?
Personal relations?
Yeah, like, did it affect the day-to-day, you know, working practices of life at the centre, you know, did people find it difficult to deal with feminism? Did men find it difficult to deal with, you know, feminism, or not really?
Not really, I don't think so. I mean, obviously, sort of Michael Green, Richard Johnson, and Stuart Hall were all men, you know, so they were the guys in charge mainly. But no, I don't think so. I mean, I think it was very open-minded and liberal kind of place in that sense. Obviously, there is a little bit of, you know, guilt stuff going around about men and women and taking them for granted and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, I still feel, you know, that the women there felt that. And were on their side, basically, you know, so they had bigger battles to fight than with us.
Yeah. And did you have any sort of inkling about the centre's relationship to the wider university?
Yeah, I mean, I, my feeling was, you know, that their popularity was obviously an acceptable thing, but politically, you know, there was always a very sort of sensitive kind of relationship to the rest of the university.
Mm.
And funding was a continuous kind of problem. Also, there was a kind of a turf wars, I think, because sociology and English, in particular history, sociology and English, I think, was really what we were doing in the department.
Mm. Do you have any?
Media attention, for instance. I mean, all the media attention went to the centre.
Right. Do you sort of because obviously Stuart left for the Open University. Then later, as you were there, how did that, as the news, you know, kind of spread across the centre that Stuart was leaving? Did that have an impact in people's? You know, how did people react to that?
I didn't catch that.
How did people when Stuart, you know, told the rest of the centre that he was leaving to go and join the Open University? How did people respond?
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, I haven't had that much contact. I've had contact with Michael Green, of course, who
right.
passed away a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But and I think he'd been there for, I think, 11 years or so. I felt that, you know, it was okay for him and for the centre for him to move on to the Open University.
Yeah.
It wasn't sort of a cop-out in that sense. I mean, it was he was doing a worthwhile job, you know, as professor of sociology at the Open University, you know, and in many ways. It was a progressive institution, just as the centre was.
Mm.
So I don't think there were any sort of ill feeling in that sense.
Okay.
I may be wrong, but that's not how I saw it.
Okay. And then just finally, I was going to ask you, Michael, how big is the Birmingham school in Denmark today, would you say?
Today?
Mm.
Well, I mean, I think it's become mainstream in that sense. I mean, all the work on, or at least it's defined really cultural studies and particularly sort of the theoretical area of cultural studies. It's been defined by the Birmingham School, and for the last 25 years or so, since the early 80s, it's been sort of the defining forum in terms of for instance, masculinity studies, romance studies, popular fiction studies. The whole theoretical discourse has been formed by the Birmingham School, because in a sense, I mean, that was their input in the early 80s, and obviously people move on to different types of theories. Even, I mean, with people who don't know very much about the Birmingham School itself, it's been very influential in that sense.
Great. That's really fascinating.